الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Praises be to Allah. We ask aid from Him. We believe in Him. We ask forgiveness of Him. I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except Him alone. There is nothing like Him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Praise be to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and who with His words revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, in the Quran, says, see how the heavenly bodies are raised, upheld, without pillars, that is, without visible structures to support them. The greatest, the biggest mass in the heavens is held, and when we observe with our eyes, we cannot see any structure holding them up. It is said that some of the stars that we see are bodies millions of times larger than the sun and many, many millions of times larger than this earth. And we are beholding them at night when the sky is clear with our eyes. And those great masses are held up there seemingly with no support, that is, no visible support. Praise be to Allah, who has created everything and has set everything to an order that He designed, who has created the human being and proportioned him and have shown him the guidance through His chosen servants, the prophets, and has completed the guidance for all people, for all times, in His last revealed message, the Quran, to Prophet Muhammad, the universal prophet. Highly praised is He above all things. We seek Him. We obey Him. We acknowledge His graces, and especially the great mercy in Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be on him and on the righteous, all of them. We yield our will to him. We turn to him in prayer. We seek forgiveness from him for our faults, for our sins. We expect that he will sustain us. That is, we seek sustenance, life and sustenance from him. We trust that He will sustain us. We trust that He will befriend us. We trust that He will protect us. Without Him, there is no friend. There is no protection. Without Him, there is nothing. As one learned sheikh, who happened to be a very old man from Africa, who had spent most of his life, his teaching years, in Saudi Arabia. He said to me on his visit to the United States, he said in Arabic, he couldn't speak but a few words in English. But it so happened that what he said, I understood that. Although there was much he said that I didn't understand because I'm not fluent. And at that time, I was not as fluent as I am now. in the Arabic language. He said, "May Allah have mercy on him and forgive him his sins." He said to me, "For everything we may lose, there is a compensation." He said, "But if we lose Allah, there is no compensation." So it struck my heart. The faithful believers in this religion, they love Allah with all their heart. They love His Messenger. And Allah and His Messenger are first in the hearts of the true believers. After the love for Allah and His Messenger, then they love other things, others in their proper places. The love for Allah is seen in our love for the Messenger, and is also seen in our love for each other and for those things that are given love in their proper places. This world is bigger than faith alone. The world requires actions. The world requires work on the part of the faithful. Praise be to Allah, who has made it possible with revelation down through the ages from His prophets, or through His prophets, that we have culture, business, science, government, and all the other good activities that are related to these essential activities of an advanced society. The inspired messengers are prophets. Some of them were both messengers and prophets. In the case of our prophet, the last prophet, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and the blessings be on him, he is called messenger, prophet, both. The inspired messengers, our prophets, did not follow confused psychic notions or impulses. They were not given to a wandering mind, hitting there, hitting here, hitting there, drifting here, drifting away from the point. No. They were guided by divine guidance. And again, neither were they guided by experimentalism, nor by the dictates of scientific observation. The prophets were noted for their unshrinking devotional loyalty and obedience to the will of the one Allah. Prophet Ibrahim, while he was observing the workings of the heavenly bodies, was mainly motivated and directed by his desire to know what is the will of the one Allah. The discipline of our impressionable free will and the inborn drives or instincts, instinctive drives, is the real meaning of our Islam. When we discipline our own impulse, our own urge to act independently of what Allah intends, when we respond to the basic drives, to the urge in us for the things of this external world, and before responding, we consult with the guidance of God, what Allah has revealed. We try to discipline ourselves in accord with what Allah has revealed. That's the true meaning of our Islam. The obligations in such discipline are implied by such discipline is the demand that al-Islam places on the believers. The prophets and the believers are noted as those who heed, H-E-E-D, as those who heed the call in the guidance of Allah. That is, in the Quran. The scientific disciplines evolve in response to the Quranic demand in our lives. The scientific disciplines evolve in response to the Quranic demand in our lives. The renaissance of the sciences did not come before the Quran. The Quran came first, then the renaissance of the sciences. And the Quran didn't come to one who was making scientific research or scientific experiments. It came to one who gave his heart to the will of Almighty Allah. It wasn't revealed to his intellectual powers. It was revealed because of the goodness or the soundness of his heart. In the Quran, Allah says, and he revealed it on his heart, ala qalbihi, on his heart, making it clear to us that the requirement for truth is good morals, sound morals, true sensitivities, clean sensitivities, is a requirement in the soul in order for you to receive from Allah the guidance. And as that's true for the Prophet who brought us the great guidance from God to be executed in our whole life, it's true for us as individuals on a lower level. For Allah says in the Surah Al-Baqarah, praised is He, glorified is He above all that we imagine, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book in which there is no doubts or fault. It is guidance for the muttaqeen. What is the muttaqeen? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said that the taqwa of the muttaqeen is righteousness. Is righteousness. And he have also indicated by pointing to his heart three times that the seat of that is the heart. Scientific enlightenment poses some real risks. One of those risks being materialism and finagling by the materialists. They dupe and deceive the intellectuals to commit abuses on their talents that Allah has given them. In time, as consequences of this kind of finagling, trickery played on the mind of the intellectuals by the materialists, in time, science forgets its own mission. That mission is to bring us to the meeting with human needs and fulfillment of human noble aspirations or hopes. We only have to give a little thought to our lives in this most scientifically advanced world, to see that science has failed its own mission. Look at the technology that is used to get the shuttle boat out of our gravitation, out of our Earth gravitation, and all of the highly technical equipment that's on that vehicle. Look how science has advanced in that respect. Look at the great science we see in the medical institutions, how advanced the sciences are. In industry, how advanced the sciences are. But in the life of the individuals, both the professionals and non-professionals, we don't see scientific enlightenment. So that tells us that this scientific world that played down respect for Quran, played down respect for sacred scripture, play down respect for the worship of one Allah, and raise up in our minds respect for academia, respect for their schools, for their colleges, for their professors, for their scientists, for the scientific method, respect it over divine revelation. Think about how they have taken our respect away from the things that God guided us to. And then maybe we can understand why our lives are so much out of tune with scientific processes. How come we are abusing our metabolism, a metabolism that's scientific, but our lifestyle and our eating habits and our behavior abuses that metabolism? And science is not rescuing us. Science is on its mission of catering to the demand of the materialists. And still for others, hope means many things. Although we know what the hope is, our hope is to please Allah. But for some, the hope is given in the term promised land. And to some, the promised land may be the great republic, freedom, and the democratic processes of free society. And to others, the promised land might mean the usurpation of that freedom by the material or materialistic powers that dictate from materialism to us and make mechanical beings of us when we should be human beings. And then others see the promised land perhaps from their religious feelings and teachings or understanding as the Christ Jesus, or as Christ's conscience, that we would see or understand in the term taqwa. Dear beloved people, the Holy Prophet has said the best of you is the most useful to the society. I would like to call your attention now to another symbol that holds great meaning. There's an expression, Son of Man. As for the term Son of Man, Scripture, in its historical movement, as it has been revealed, coming to us in the stages of time, indicates that there is an emphasis on practical life and useful work in society, a useful work that multiplies in the enrichment of the whole society and bears fruit or fructifies in just benefits to the community and to the individual. The expression, son of my right hand, many of the people in this society have the name Benjamin. It means son of my right hand. This name or expression clearly carries the meaning that we are bringing to you now. The meaning of usefulness. And the terms Benny and Bunny, Bunny, son, Bunaya, my son. Some of you will recall the words of the beautiful chapter in the Quran, Luqman, where Luqman advises his son, Ya Bunaya, Aqim al-Salat. وَعْمِلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Very beautiful verses. And he's addressing his son, Ya Bunaya. Buni, son. And Bani, Bani Israel. Bani Israel. Translated, tribe of Israel. But a literal translation is son of Israel, Bani Israel. These terms express the idea of something building up, or built up, or structured, groomed, worked on. When the married couple marries, you call the man what? The groom. And the woman is called the bride. These two terms says to us, one has been worked on. One has been structured. One has been refined. One has been groomed, and the other one has been made to bridle him. She is the bride who wears the bridal gown. I'm not saying we buy that kind of language, but it is interesting. The best of you, as the prophet said, peace and blessings be on him, is the most useful in the society. So I have to ask myself occasionally, am I producing for the society? Am I producing today? Did I produce yesterday? Am I producing for the society? Because this is one of the most important markings of the true believer. It is that he is not just a person of mouth and no work. He's a person of mouth in moderation and work in generosity. Yes. Dear beloved people, valuable contributions and useful production relate directly to the labor of our hands. Though the ideas were received and conceived and hatched in the womb of the intellect, the production relate directly to the work of our hands. The precious manuscripts, the scientific inventions, the industrial buildup, healthcare treatment, modern technology, all testify on behalf of the hand of humanity, its adaptability, its skill, and hard work. Many of us are like left hands in a normal society. In a normal society, people are right-handed. And the left-handed person is the exception. But many of us are like the left-handed person. I'm not saying you're leftist, but you're like the left-handed person. The left hand has nothing much to brag about in a normal society of right-handed people. It's the right hand that did the artwork, that performed the delicate operation, that put the delicate machine together, that wrote the books of sciences, that put together the beautiful art, the right hand. So this emphasis on right hand is to bring our attention to the need for productive work in society. Do we want to be a community of left hands? And again, in the scripture of the Christians, the question is asked, when did he ever say to the angel, "Sit thou on my right hand"? When did he ever give the angel permission to serve him as his right hand? Never. Never. And Allah says in the Quran, had this earth in society. Do we want to be a community of left hands? And again, in the scripture of the Christians, says the question is asked, when did he ever say to the angel, "Sit thou on my right hand"? When did he ever give the angel permission to serve him as his right hand? Never. Never. And Allah says in the Quran, had this earth been populated by angels, He would have given you an angel as a messenger. But the earth is populated by human beings, so he sent you a human being as a messenger. And that human messenger, he used his right hand. He preached and he worked. He demonstrated work in his home with his wife, or wives. He demonstrated it in his study environment. He used his right hand. Right hand indicates also conscious thought that has as its objective service, the completion of something that is unfinished, responding to a need that cries for attention. Conscience, the right hand. I would like to read now from Quran. The Most High says in the Quran, الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان. So for those who say, or think, that the goal of society is to come into Christ conscience, if Christ is associated with the symbol sun, S-U-N, and he's the son of man, the light for the society, then let us take a hint from the Quranic words that we have read, الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ. The sun and the moon follow courses exactly measured out for them. And in other verses from the Quran, Allah says that the sun and moon, yasjudan. They submit. They render obedience. And in another place, Allah the Most High said in the Quran, worship neither the sun nor the moon, but worship him who made them. That should be clear enough for Muslims. وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرَ وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ Yes, Judan, and the plants, herbs, and the trees make submission, make gestures of submission, obedience to Allah. It is not accidental that this word najm, that's translated herbs, are shrubbish, shrubs. Also, it's star, Najm, it's star. Najum, the stars. Najm, star. So they translated shrubs or herbs, because herbs is plant life and shajara is plant life. But in the Quran, the word Najm also means star. Najm is star. Najum, stars. So these words are put here not accidentally but intentionally. They're revealed in this way to bring our mind to the higher meaning behind the symbol, herbs and trees. Shajar is trees. that the herbs and the trees, they obey, they submit, they obey their Creator. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفْعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. And the sky, He has raised it up, raised it up, and has placed there the balance, al-mizan, the balance. When we look to the heavenly order, we see there balance. The earth is in its proper place. It has been there for billions of years. It's in its proper place in relation to sun, Mars, earth, all these planets, Mercury, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, all these planets going about in an order, and they are balanced. What is this balance called? Solar, or for the whole universe, universal gravitation. Universal gravitation has these heavenly bodies in balance, in check. And Allah says to us, أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِيزَانِ. Will you then bring disorder, corruption, confusion into this balance? Will you break the balance? Then the instruction comes, وَأَقِيمُوا الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Stick fast to the rule of justice when weighing out, when measuring, when weighing. This means in everything you do, you're measuring out. You're weighing. You're giving something according to the measure that you are moved to give. The attention you give each other, the attention you give your wives, the attention you give your husbands, sisters, the attention you give your children, is all given in response to what your desires measure out. Or I'll kiss him tomorrow. He hurt my feelings today. Or I'll give her $2 to go downtown. That's enough. She can buy a hamburger. She didn't do what I said. So don't we measure out? Aren't we proportioning? Aren't we weighing everything we give people? Yes. So we are operating as though we got a scale right in our hands all the time. I say, As-salamu alaykum, brother. Wa alaykum as-salam. It was measured, wasn't it? I say, As-salamu alaykum, brother. Wa alaykum as-salam. How are you, brother Imam? It was measured, wasn't it? So this scale takes in everything. Will you then break the balance? Will you corrupt the order and break the balance? وَأَقِيمُوا الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Hold fast to the principle of justice while weighing. وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا الْمِيزَانِ. And don't cause loss in the balance. Let us come again to the idea of worship, the disposition of the intellect to know for sure that we are not to worship any created thing, we are only to worship Creator. The Most High, glory be to Him, says in Surah Al-Qadr, تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام. There descends or come down into the blessed night the ruh, the spirit, the Holy Spirit, the angels and the Holy Spirit. المَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ. the angels and the Holy Spirit. Bi'idni Rabbihim. On an errand for their Lord. They're not coming of their own accord. They have no power of their own. The angels and the ruh, they don't command themselves. Allah command them. Min kulli amr, they obey every order from their Lord. Salam, peace. Their object is peace. That is established by the Creator. Their object is peace. Salam. Hiya hatta mutla'il fajr. What is fajr? El fajr. El fajr is the dawn. The daybreak. The dawn. We've heard of the dawning of knowledge, the dawning of sciences, the dawning of wisdom. The Renaissance was the dawning of sciences. Culture, refined life. So here we're told that salamun, salamun. And it is suggested by those who indicated here that we stop on salam. Why? Because there's a double connection here. The spirit and the inspiration descend also in the blessed night to the prophet. And there is peace. Until the prophet had to get up and go out and reveal, tell the world what he received. Then the peace stops. Right? Peace it is. Salam. Peace. Then the peace stops. Because people were going to be at odds with what he come with from Allah. So then the peace is broke. It's wonderful to receive the guidance of God. How wonderful it is, how thrilling it is, how soothing it is to us. But then the command. Get up off your bed and go out and execute in the world what you have received. Then the peace is broken. And many of us are not ready for that jihad. Salam, peace. It didn't say as-salam. It said salam. Because as-salam is something we have to work for. Salam. In paradise, the greeting will be what? Not as-salam. In paradise, the greeting will be salam. Not as-salam. As-salam is something we have to work for. As-salam is that peace that we all need and depend upon collectively. While we're in this world, we need each other's cooperation to have peace. But in paradise, we won't need that. We would have earned God's favors and God's blessings. We will be blessed in paradise. We won't need to beg brother to be straight or be right by me. In paradise, it'll be salam. And when the prophet received the guidance from God, at that time when he was being blessed with revelation, he had no record and no recognition of what it entailed for him, what he had to do outside. He was so captured by the revelation itself. He was in heaven receiving the revelation. Therefore, it was salam. It was the peace of paradise. But it only lasts up until the dawn. He had to get up. Then he had to go out and face the world. Then he taught the Muslims to say, As-salamu alaykum. The peace obligates you. Wa alaykum as-salam. And the peace obligates you too. Hiya hatta matla'il fajr. It is until the coming or the rising of the dawn. Now, dear beloved people, let's look at the other connection here. When sciences illumine the society, And men are then relaxed because they don't fear demons in the dark. They don't fear the woods at night. Science has come and it made possible for them to have more security of mind. This feeling of security began to take their mind off of Allah, who made possible the coming of the sciences. And then they start to use the very light that Allah revealed to aid man in his objectives, to come home to himself and to his maker. They then began to use those sciences to corrupt man's thinking and make atheists and materialists out of the individuals. So dear beloved people, be thankful to Allah that He has revealed a book without flaw, without mistake, complete, needing nothing. It attends every issue. It is revealed in this book that this book attends every issue. You have an issue? This is the book. I ask Allah protection, His mercy, His forgiveness. I ask Him to strengthen the faith, purify our hearts. O Allah, do not permit us to go back into darkness and corruption after you have guided our hearts aright. Ameen. بسم الله والحمد لله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. With the name Allah, giving praise, the praise to Allah, I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. We ask choicest blessings and the peace to Prophet Muhammad, to his descendants, to his companions, to the righteous servants, all of them, to the faithful here in America and throughout the world. Ameen. In living productive lives as dictated by the Quran, we have to be aware of the need for proper vision and understanding concerning the workings of a society. A society is not successful just by merely the productive operations. Those productive operations have to conform to some kind of guidelines, some direction. They have to be ordered. They have to be directed. If we don't have order and direction, our productive forces will be chaotic. We'll have a lot of confusion. We'll be defeating our own purposes. And that very much describes the mental state of the people who come to this masjid and come to most of the masjids throughout the land. You want the productive life, or at least you want the knowledge. You want to know, and many of you want to produce, but very few want to accept authority in their lives. Most of us would accept the authority if we didn't have to deal with that authority. So we say, yes, I accept Prophet Muhammad. Or I follow Prophet Muhammad, brother. Because we don't have to deal directly with Prophet Muhammad. He's not here for us to deal with directly. So we know we need to escape or skate out of the way of responsibility. So we claim to be loyal to leaders that we don't have to deal with. But don't fool yourself. In the judgment, Allah is going to say, didn't you say you were a follower of Muhammad? Say, yes. How come you didn't follow Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad? How come you didn't obey him? Wasn't he a follower of Muhammad? And didn't he demonstrate to you the leadership of Prophet Muhammad? And wasn't he foremost in exemplifying Prophet Muhammad's way? Then how come you didn't follow him? You're a liar. You didn't follow Prophet Muhammad. You're not Prophet Muhammad's follower. You are lazy, shirking, snotty nose, sweaty. Funky, Uncle Tom, get out of here. Oh, Chief, please, don't get down like that today. Can't just be productive. You have to be orderly and productive. You have to be committed and productive. And committed to more than yourself. You have to be committed to a program, to a plan for carrying out work. And you have to be respectful concerning that leader that has introduced that plan. Or that represents the leadership for that plan, for carrying out that plan. There's no such thing as a Muslim community without leadership. Those who want to bring you into their camps and make you their dumb puppets tell you that in Islam there's no leader. Prophet Muhammad is our leader. The Imam is not a leader. He just leads the prayers. Anybody can lead the prayers. I know what they tell you. It gets back to me. They wouldn't tell me that. They say the Quran is your leader. Allah revealed the Quran. The Quran says that God revealed to Moses the book as an Imam. Certainly. That's true. The Quran is your leader. But does it talk to you? Can it call adhan? Can it make khutbah? Can it explain to you its details in it? It's a leader, but on a level. Then the live human leader must come. And you must accept that leader. Allah says, I'm going to put a khalifa on the earth. Was he going to put a khalifa on the earth to do nothing? He says, I'm going to put a khalifa on the earth. And when I have put him on the earth and breathed into him of my spirit, then you obey him. Allah says, obey Prophet Muhammad. And obey those charged with authority. Are those to whom authority is given. Is that right? Didn't you elect me as your leader? Many of you were there when they said, yes, yes. February 26, 1975. And if you didn't elect me your leader, you come here, so your behavior says, he is my leader. Then if you have given me authority to lead this community by your consent, and I qualify as an imam by my knowledge, and by my moral behavior, then what excuse you have not to obey me? Tell me, what excuse you have not to obey me? Oh, I don't obey you, brother imam. Well, then you're not a Muslim. Oh, I ain't going to obey you. You're not a believer. You're a hypocrite. Oh, you're deaf, dumb, and blind. You're a deceived, poor brother. Come out of that ignorance that has held our people down for centuries. The world will never cheer you on when you're building leadership from among yourself. And I don't mean necessarily me, a black man. I'm talking about any of the common people. The world won't cheer you when you build in leadership from the common people.
Right.
Did they cheer Prophet Muhammad? No, because he was a man representing the common people.
Right.
He was not an intellectual. He was not schooled by them.
Right.
They didn't cheer him. They didn't say, yes, that's a good man for you to follow. But let one come from out of their institutions, from their institutions of learning. And he started preaching to you and talking their language. They would say, hey, why don't you all fight? They put him on TV, they put him in the media, and overnight he'll be popular and you'll be following him blindly. But a common man from the ranks that come to you with knowledge that soothes your wounds, healing for the first time, settles yourself within yourself, and give you eyesight that you may see your way in life. And you sit around and say,
come on.
I like for him to charm me. I like for him to rock me. But I don't like it when you say I have to obey him. At least obey yourself. Yes, that's my advice to you who can't obey me. At least obey yourself. And I'm sure yourself doesn't tell you to behave the way you behave. I was listening to the news, or watching the news on TV, and the Secretary of State, Mr. Haig, is that his name? Yes, Mr. Haig. He said, and I'm going to quote him, when they were asking him questions, kind of stabbing questions, annoying questions, questions that, you know, criticize the performance of the White House staff, president, and his cabinet. I'm going to quote him. He says, it's amazing. We have more attention with the gossip and the hoopla than with the substance. That means the substance is pretty D good. That's what he said. I said to myself, I should bring this to the attention of the community. Because I got people who follow me around, who claim to be with me, but they're always trying to bring up something that when it enter your mind, it will cause you to measure my performance in the light of how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam performed.